welcome to Parent Q. I'm Reggie Joyner, and I have four children who are now all in their 20s.
And I'm Kristen Ivey. I'm the mother of three.
Oh, three?
Wait a second.
Three?
Did you just say three?
This is an official announcement, and you want me to follow that? Oh, great. Okay, I'm Greg Payne, and I have two teenage daughters.
Just two. Three. Yeah, teenagers are a little harder sometimes than some days. Preschoolers. You're pretty brave.
Some days.
Well, obviously, we have a wide range of parenting experience here at the table, and I thought it would be a great topic to talk about our different perspectives and how we see the parent as a spiritual leader.
Okay, spiritual leader. That term always freaks me out as a dad. You climb up spiritual leader.
Yeah, as a mom, I don't usually feel very spiritual or much like a leader.
Okay, so the word spiritual leaders can come across a little heavy, but I still think it's a concept that we should kind of unpack.
I don't know. When I think about spiritual leaders, I think about people who are really smart. They know a lot about the Bible, and I don't think they've ever done anything wrong.
So there's a list. There's like the Pope, Billy Graham, and me. That's just a weird, weird list.
But don't you think, if you're really honest about it, that there is a sense in which you have more potential influence in the spiritual realm of your kids' lives than the Pope, Billy Graham, or your pastor?
Oh.
I mean, every mom and dad has influence. I mean, that's the nature of parenting, is that you have influence because you live together. So whether you intend to or not, whether that's scary or encouraging, you're going to influence your kids.
So it is true, and we may be overstating the obvious a little bit here at the beginning, but it is true that your relationship with kids will affect their relationship with God.
And your relationship with God will affect their relationship with God.
That's good.
I mean, actually, that's why we talk all the time about one of our parenting principles, which is to make it personal, because as uncomfortable as that makes me feel, because I know I want my kids to grow up and be a little bit better than mm-hmm. I am, it's just that idea that
you
your kids
be
are
a little bit better than you.
Well, maybe maybe a lot better than me sometimes.
I don't know. The whole concept makes me want some Tylenol, because it makes me nervous to think my kids are going to be making some decisions about how they see God based on how I parent.
Actually, that makes me nervous for your kids.
See,
too,
it
Greg.
Should. It should.
I mean, spiritual leadership, the idea can come with a little bit of baggage, right? I mean, there's this long list that might come to mind of what we think of.
Yeah, because I've sat in services or I've listened to pastors preach and I've listened to Christian leaders teach. And as a result, I would walk away going, this feels impractical and it feels impossible and I don't even know what to do with
that. You know what? I'm putting together a list right now. I pray with my kids every night. I only listen to worship music on the radio. I have theological discussions with them about God daily. I come up with a plan. They read the Bible every day. We listen to sermon podcasts.
So you did that every day for 19 years with your daughters though, right?
There was that one Wednesday I was sick.
Oh.
Yeah, the problem is we know Greg, so... we know that wasn't an everyday occurrence or an experience, but here's a definition that maybe can put us all at ease for just a second. What if we redefine spiritual leadership in a different kind of way? What if spiritual leadership is simply helping your kids take a positive step in their relationship with God? So as a parent, you don't have to master explaining your church's doctrines or teach systematic theology to be a spiritual leader. You just have to help them move another step in the right direction.
Okay, now that really helps me. See, that's more about initiative and influence. So if you're like me and you're listening to this podcast and you don't consider yourself a very spiritual person.
Yeah, like Greg.
All right. They know. It's good to know that you can still be a spiritual leader. You can still have positive spiritual influence in your kids' lives.
So as an audience, what we really want all of you to know is that if Greg can be a spiritual leader, any parent can be a spiritual leader.
I'm glad I'm on the poster here. This is good.
I think you get to apply it. The great thing about parenting is you get to apply it in a number of different ways. And as it feels a fit for your family and in the rhythm of your family and in the phase that you are in with your kids, it can mean taking your kids to church every week or helping them memorize a verse of scripture, singing a song with them, or in a moment explaining to them really what it means to put their trust in God.
Yes, influence in their life, practical ways to keep them just moving in a positive relationship with God.
And to illustrate this, I think, to help the parent kind of get a handle on it, is this is really no different than what you're already doing in other arenas. I mean, if your kid is going to be healthy, you're going to take them to the doctor and you're going to make sure you make the right steps to help them continue to grow in a healthy way. When it comes to their education, what are you going to do? You're going to help them do their homework. You're going to make sure they get to school. when it comes to athletics, right? I mean, you're going to sign them up for Little League baseball.
So I have to go to medical school to keep them healthy.
Right.
I don't have to have a teaching degree to educate them. I don't have to suddenly develop athletic skills to make them
but
athletes.
But you are leading them in those areas.
Right, you're just involved. You're helping them take the next step in this other area of their life as well.
I'd like to pause right here and kind of make a suggestion. And if you're listening to this, you know, you probably know that we're coming from a Christian perspective, so this may seem a little self-serving. But as Christian parents, don't we think the reason we should talk about this issue is because we think a child's relationship with God will ultimately have a profound effect on their future? I mean, this is a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal, but you've got to understand that the parents want their kids to be healthy. They want them to have a good education. They want them to develop some kind of physical skills. But for some reason, we just don't think of the spiritual side in the same way. It doesn't feel as urgent.
Yeah, I think that's why the word leader is in this, right? Because leaders help focus on what's important and not just what's urgent, because this doesn't feel as urgent in the everyday.
Yeah.
And we get to practice this all the time as a team. I mean, if we could invite parents into our creative meetings, I mean, this is the discussion we're having almost every day with a group of producers and writers, because we're trying to think in terms of curriculums that will work for kids and teenagers. We'll write several hundred thousand words every month so that we are helping churches and homes create environments to hand off a relationship or a concept of a relationship with God to kids. And I know this week we had a very interesting meeting, and maybe it was because it's at the beginning of the year, but we kind of backed up and went to zero and we said, okay, if we really look at this and start wrestling with the why, you know, would that help us understand why we're doing this?
Yeah, I think we started with the question, why does helping a child follow Jesus affect their future? And I mean, of course, it affects their ultimate future, that they, you know, will live in heaven someday. And there's a salvation issue, but there's also more than that. And we wanted to sit in a room for a minute and just talk about, how does it affect their week this week or next month or in the next 5 years? How is it impacting their life?
It's practical. It's practical because you're thinking through why the spiritual side of a kid really matters. It's how they see themselves. It's their self-worth. It anchors them emotionally to something a lot bigger than they are.
It helps their capacity to care for others because of how they see them and how they're made in the image of God. Yeah. It gives them hope when things kind of go bad in their life. You know that someday inevitably that's going to happen, and how it affects their world view.
I mean, I could actually make the case, looking back as a parent over the years of my children's lives, and now that they're in their 20s, I could actually make the case of anything you can possibly do for your child, this is the most important. Because nothing has as an effect on their future as this does. And if I could go back and do it again, I think what I would try to remind myself every day of is that all the other things, as important as they are, and even their relationship with me, and as important as that is, can't be a substitute and will not be a substitute for having them connected to a heavenly Father or to a God who loves them day in and day out.
Yeah, that's not easy to do. And if we're doing our job here in this podcast, we've convinced hundreds of parents out there that they really need to be a spiritual leader. But at the same time, I'm just identifying with the poor parent in the car who's now hair is on fire, you know, and they're freaking out. They're just panicked, saying, "What do I do now?"
So let's talk about that. Let's make a list of a few practical things we feel like the average parent could do to kind of assume the role, take the initiative to be a spiritual leader. I think one of the ideas that I thought was an interesting idea that Kara Powell, that's a friend of ours, gave us a few years ago when she wrote the book Sticky Faith for Families, is she talks about interviewing kids and asking them the question, do you know the story of how your parents became a Christian? And it was interesting how the majority of kids she asked that question to didn't even know the story. So if you're a parent and you're listening to this, do your kids even know the story of how maybe you decided to trust Christ or how you decided to follow Christ and became a Christian? It would be a great starting place just to tell that story, yeah, and just to introduce them
it
to a little bit of your story.
Perfect starting place. After she told us that, I went home. We started a family journal saying our story right there just to make sure we wrote it down.
I'm just glad to know that you do have a story. That's great.
I was too.
That's good.
I'll have to show you that.
It's, okay, yeah. and everything?
Okay. My daughters are the artists, you know.
Okay,
that.
Good.
But another starting place could be help them put some kind of God time into their life on a regular basis where they focus on a consistent way with a relationship with God. I mean, that's the whole reason we build devotionals in all our curriculums, that, and we want them used practically in the home.
Right. And as a parent, I appreciate when I have a practical tool that helps me do that. I think that's why I get passionate about what we do. What we get to provide for families are these kinds of resources. And as we thought about those a few years ago, I know we spent some time, as we normally kind of do, with some creative boards, with some people talking about what is it in our own lives that's helped us grow in our relationship with God? What practices do we have that help us know God more?
And we want to make those easy if you have, say, 3 kids.
Right. And so we actually came up with 4 words. And these are just 4 words that you can use. You can write them down. You can remember them. And we hope when this podcast is over, maybe you'll put them somewhere you can look at and think about occasionally. Because if you would just keep these 4 words in the kind of the foreground of your family and think about how you can, with your children, help these 4 words become a reality for them, I think you could introduce them into a habit of growing in the relationship with God.
Yeah, and the first word is here, because we think it's really important to influence kids to know that God actually has something to say to them. And of course, there are lots of ways you can hear from God. You can read the Bible. You can hear from wise words from people around you in relationships with you.
Yeah. Actually, yesterday I heard this story from a friend of mine. So it's interesting that we're talking about this today because she hasn't had a lot of success getting her kids to memorize scripture. But at the start of the new year, she challenged herself to memorize a passage of scripture. And she was just working on it with, and her son was in the room.
Uh-huh.
And he kind of took up the mantle, as kids sometimes do, of encouraging her. You can do this, Mom. Or no, you got it wrong, you know. And so he's
probably had fun correcting her.
I think he had a lot. It sounded like he was having a lot of fun correcting her. But later that day, she walked past the playroom and she happened to overhear him instructing his little sister on the same passage to help her really understand the meaning.
Sounds like a senior pastor in the making.
I want to know the passage.
Right.
The next word, I think, after here is pray, because we know that we have the ability to pray to God and have this communication with God, that we want to be able to help kids know they can take their burdens, their gratitude, all of these things, and talk to God about them.
So I have a question, Kristen, right here, because I've been around your family a little bit. So do you really pray at every meal?
Okay. 3 kids soon, too. Yeah, that's going to make it even more
right.
fun.
I'm just saying.
I think
noticed,
I deserve an out
I've
on this
I've noticed a few
one.
Fast-forwarding yeah. past the prayer thing
right.
a little bit.
I'd see them fighting over French fries.
Yeah. Early on, when we had a baby at about a 2-year-old, we decided that prayer time just wasn't the most spiritual moment for our family. So we... We may have skipped over a few prayers at mealtime,
okay.
But I think that's what's great about prayers. You can teach your kids, you can pray at any time.
Oh, there you go. That's good.
Without ceasing. Right. Yes, good.
Okay, good.
Except maybe ceasing at mealtime.
Okay, then there's also the word talk. We've got the word hear, we got the word pray, we got the word talk. And now the thing I like about the word talk is it encourages kids in their relationship with God to see how that relationship is connected to other people who believe in God. The thing about talk is, you know, you want to hear from God, you want to pray to God, but you want to talk about God. You want to be in an environment, in a community with other people where you actually learn how to learn from them what they're learning about God. And I think this is a huge thing that speaks into the value of the church, the value of community, the value of group, because again, this idea of God and making God personal is something we learn from each other as well.
Yeah, we don't do
definitely.
That enough.
The last word that we have is the word live, and it may seem like a pretty big word, but it's the word we use that kind of summarizes what we mean to worship God, because it's our response to that relationship that we have with God. It's how we honor God in the way that we live and serve, just as a response to what we know He's done for us.
So hear, pray, talk, live. Those 4 words, we think, sums up how a kid or a teenager or even an adult can nurture their relationship with God.
So as a parent, we would simply say to you, you know, how can you help your kids hear from God this week? How can you help your kids pray to God this week? How can you help your kids talk about God with you or with other people? How can you help your kids live for God this week? Because again, the power of these 4 words, and I don't want to miss this, is they're kind of written the way they're written so that they are understood in the context of a relationship, because we don't want God to be some, you know, force out there that's distant and removed. We want them to understand that this is a personal relationship with a God that they can have.
Yeah, I love these 4 words, and we use them in a built-in rhythm that you can, you know, talk with your kids in some creative ways on an ongoing basis. We also put it into two journals a couple years ago because we really wanted to take some time back to kind of Kara Powell's statement about talking to your kids about their faith. Sometimes we assume they're picking things up, but we don't take the time to communicate it with them. And we wanted to create a resource where you could sit down in a moment when a kid's ready, when they're really asking a lot of questions about their faith, and say, okay, here are the four things.
The Know God journals.
Yep.
Yeah. Those are just an easy way. We've got these Know God journals that you can take kids on a 28-day journey with you as a parent, or you can take the initiative to plug your kid in with somebody who can act as a mentor and go through it with them, establish a pattern in their life to get to know God, to relate to God, make it personal.
And just remember, whether you use one of these resources or come up with your own system to influence your kid's spiritual journey, you have a potential in your kid's life to influence them spiritually that no one else does because you are the parent.
And that doesn't have to be overwhelming. We can just look for simple ways, practical ways to just encourage our kids at every step in their journey to keep moving one more step closer to knowing God.
All right, I'm glad we talked today. I'm a little more relaxed. I don't have to be a perfect parent. My wife will be glad to hear that. But God does expect you to be a reflection of His love for your kids that's perfect and unconditional.
And the real reason we gathered today around a table to talk to you about being a spiritual leader is because we were hoping that Greg would get some insight.
This is an intervention,
so that he could become more spiritual as a parent, as a dad.
My wife put you up to this, didn't she?
Maybe. I mean, we're not going to say. But so, that's the cue this week. That's the cue this month, to take some time and to think about what it means to be a spiritual leader.